Acts chapter number 1, starting at verse number 8, we're going to read to the end of verse number 11. If you have a King James Bible, if you see someone does not have a Bible, please share with them your Bible. We're going to read in unison Acts chapter number 1, starting at verse number 8 to the end of verse number 11. Let's read together, shall we? But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. I want you to look at verse number 11 here, that phrase, this same Jesus. I'm going to talk to you this morning about this same Jesus. Dear God, again, thank you, Lord, for loving us. Please bless this sermon. Lord, help us to not be distracted. Help us not to be a distraction. Help us not to get up and out and come in all the time. And Lord, help us, Lord, to pay attention for the next 30, 45 minutes, please. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Bless the junior church, the nursery. And Lord, meet with us, dear Holy Spirit of God. Speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In verse number 10, while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Obviously, angels, as you know the Bible. Verse 11, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. I'm going to talk to you this morning about the same Jesus. I'm going to talk to you this morning a little bit about the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's a bodily resurrection. In Mark chapter number 8, the Bible says he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. So he told his disciples in Mark 8:31 that there was a resurrection coming. He told his disciples in Mark 9:31 about the resurrection. He taught his disciples in Mark 10, verse number 34, that there was a resurrection. He said in John chapter 2, verses 19 to 22, that he was going to raise up the temple of his body. 1 Corinthians 15 says, If Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. The one pure foundational block of Christianity is the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. If there's no resurrection, there's no God. He's just like Muhammad, just like Buddha. He's still in the grave. If Jesus Christ didn't rise from the dead, then this religion of Christianity is no different than any other religion. But the tomb of Jesus Christ is empty, ladies and gentlemen, because he rose from the dead. If there is no resurrection, there would be no judgment seat that we're going to stand before God and give an account. If there's no resurrection, there's no great white throne judgment where the dead are going to be judged by their works and then be cast into the lake of fire for all eternity. If there's no resurrection, we are wasting our time here this morning. If there's no resurrection, we're wasting our time coming back Sunday night. If there's no resurrection, we're wasting our time coming back Wednesday night. If there's no resurrection, we're wasting our time reading the Bible and praying. We're wasting our time. We're of all men most miserable, the Bible says, if there's no resurrection. But there is a resurrection. Amen. And it's proof in the Bible and elsewhere in historical documents. Because he said in verse number 20, 1 Corinthians 15, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all men be made alive. Now, it's very interesting. There's a lot of verses concerning the resurrection. But I want you to notice the following verses talk about his physical body being resurrected. In Matthew 28:9, the Bible says they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. In Luke 24, the Bible says, as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of an honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. That's the bodily, physical body of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Not just a spirit, okay? Not like a ghost figure that you would think when you watch a science fiction movie, okay? Or a Halloween movie, you know? This is a by the way, this is why the world hates the resurrection. That's why around resurrection time, whether it's March, April, or May, whenever the Pope decides to arbitrarily set a date for Easter, the world worships Easter bunnies instead of the resurrection. The world worships Easter dresses instead of the resurrection. The world worships all kinds of Easter pagan traditions instead of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because they hate God. And they hate the fact that he rose again from the dead, because it's the foundational block of Christianity, the resurrection, the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. In John 20, verse 17, Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. This same Jesus is coming back again. Amen. That's what he said in Acts chapter 1, verse 11. Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him, as you've seen him go into heaven. Now, yes, he came the first time as a lamb, but the second time he's coming back as a roaring lion to the tribe of Judah, ladies and gentlemen, and he's coming with judgment. He's coming with judgment. He's not coming the first time as he came as a lamb to lay down for our sins. He's coming as a King of kings and Lord of lords to judge this earth and judge this world. But he is coming again, this same Jesus. That's why the Bible says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know not that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Jesus doesn't change. He's coming back. The same Jesus that was here 2,000 years ago walking on the earth is the same Jesus coming back again, ladies and gentlemen. The same book that he wrote, the same book that he gave us, is the same book that he's going to be judging us with. This same Jesus. It's interesting because when God was talking about Solomon in 1 Chronicles 28:7, here's what he said about Solomon. God said, I will establish his kingdom forever if he be constant to do my commandments and my judgments as at this day. You know what's missing in God's people's lives? Being the same and being constant. He said of Solomon, his son, the son of David, he said, I will establish his kingdom forever if he be constant to do my commandments and my judgments as of this day. Today, we have so many trends and fads. We have so many winds of doctrine, itching ears, something new philosophies, new standards or lower standards. No pressure. People are loving money instead of God. The love of money is the root of all evil. So they don't know how to handle their money. They don't know anything about what the Bible says about church. The churches are falling apart. They're losing the old-time religion. The families are falling apart. The world's falling apart. People are acting like a bunch of chameleons, like the Catholic Church. or they're changing their colors depending upon where they're at and who they're with. Remember Peter? He was acting different when he was with the Gentiles and then acting 180 degrees different when he was with the Jews. And then Paul had to confront him in front of everybody. He says, why are you acting one way in front of the Gentiles and a different way in front of the Jews? Well, that's how most of God's people are today. They change with the weather. They're up or down. They're in and out. They're hot and cold. They're loud and quiet. They're humble and proud. They're sober-minded and foolish. They're hypocritically loving somebody and then hating somebody. They're patient and then they're impatient. They're calm and then they're nervous. They're faithful and then they're anxious and full of anxiety. They're mature and then they're immature. They're straight and then they're crooked. They're forward and then they're backslidden. They're honest and then they're lying. You know what I'm talking about. They're kind and then they're evil. They're selfless and then they're selfish. They obey certain parts and then they disobey the other parts. They're friendly to certain people and then they're unfriendly to certain other people. They're happy and then they're sad. They're in different camps one day and then they're in no camp the other day. They're giving one day and then they're stealing and robbing God the other day. Let me tell you something. These people that you think are so giving of themselves, I want to remind you that they're probably robbing God for the last 5 or 10 years, and they got God's money in their pocket that they should have been given to God's work and God's missionaries. So when you think somebody's a giving person, I'm telling you, they're most likely they're a bunch of robbers. My Bible says this same Jesus is coming. Hey, are you the same that you were yesterday, day before, last week, last month, last year? Are you going the same direction, the right direction towards God? Or are you going away from God? Which way are you going? That's the question this morning. Are you the same? Jesus, this same Jesus is coming again. Remember when Rhoda heard Peter knocking at the front gate there in Acts number 12? They were having a prayer meeting inside, praying for Peter to get out of prison. And the Bible says that Rhoda heard the voice of Peter. She goes back. She didn't even open the door because she was so excited and happy. She heard Peter's voice. She goes back into the prayer meeting and she said, it's Peter. It's Peter at the front door. He's knocking at the gate. And they say, you're mad. Mad in the Bible is not angry. It's crazy. You're insane. So Rhoda, we're praying for Peter right now. You're mad. You've lost it. We're praying for Peter. And she's trying to tell them Peter's at the front gate. And here's what the Bible says. They said, thou art mad, but she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Hey, I know people think you're crazy, huh? You know what Rhoda did? She constantly affirmed that Jesus is the same and Jesus is God and Jesus is coming back. She constantly affirmed. Hey, are you constantly affirming that the Word of God is right? Are you constantly telling people about Jesus Christ? Are you telling people about eternal life? Are you telling people how to be saved? She constantly affirmed that it was Peter at the door. And single-handedly, she was able to persuade the whole prayer meeting that it was Peter because she constantly affirmed. Too often, we throw in the towel. Too often, we give up. Too often, we wave the white flag because of pressure. Huh? This same Jesus isn't changing. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever, the Bible says. See, the Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. The Bible says in Titus 3:8, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. So we are supposed to constantly affirm that people might maintain good works. Are you doing something for God? What are you doing for God? One of the jobs, one of the duties of a preacher is to constantly affirm that you ought to do something for God. What are you doing for God? The Bible says in Hebrews 13:8, I mentioned Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. This same Jesus in Acts chapter 1 is coming again. Are you ready for him? He's going to be here whether you want him to come or not. Whether you're prepared or not, he's coming again. Are you ready to meet Jesus? Do you know him as your Savior? Where are you going to go when you die? The Bible says in James chapter 3, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. But God's people are up and down, in and out, hot and cold, happy, sad, friendly, unfriendly, on top of the world and miserable. The Bible says, when the waves of death compassed me, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. You know, it's like the waves, like you're drowning. The Bible is very clear about the picture of the waves drowning you. Things going on in your life, the world. But God says in Job 9:8 that he was alone spreadeth out the heavens and treadeth upon the waves of the sea. So when those waves feel, you feel that the waves are coming to drown you and go over you and drown you, I want you to remember this same Jesus walked on those waves. I'll remind you, this same Jesus stilled the waters. I'll remind you, this same Jesus calmed the wind. This same Jesus, hey, you can look around and be distracted, but this same Jesus coming back. Amen. He maketh the storm a calm, the Bible says in Psalm 107, so that the waves thereof are still. That's why Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. James 1:6 says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Jude 1:13 says, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Don't let the waves of time move you. You know what this book is? You need an anchor. You need a rock. The rock is the Lord Jesus Christ that doesn't move when the sands of time are washed away. You need an anchor for your soul called the King James Bible. So when people come up with perversions, you have the anchor for your soul that doesn't shift with the sanding, with the moving sands of the waters and the waves and the waters rushing in and out. So when people change and churches change and society changes, I want to remind you, Jesus is just the same. He's the same Jesus coming back. He's no different. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter number 4 that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So we ought not to be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. In Jude, verse number 12, the Bible says, these are spots in your feasts of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. You're allowing people to influence you instead of the Jesus that doesn't change. You're allowing churches and preachers and pastors and ministers to influence you instead of this same Jesus and this book that doesn't change. Hey, I got news for you. 100 years ago, every single Baptist church was using the King James Bible. I wonder today if it's 1 out of 10 today. I wonder if it's 1 out of 5 today using the King James Bible. You say, why is the country so messed up? Because God's people are messed up and God's houses are messed up and God's men are messed up. And so when you move away from the truth, and you move away from the Word of God, you don't have the same Jesus that our forefathers had 100 years ago or 200 years ago. You better get back to the same Jesus who came back, who walked here, and is coming back again. Get back to that Jesus. I'd rather you be back to the same Jesus instead of your local church. Yeah. I'd rather you get back to the same Jesus that our forefathers preached about. This same Jesus is coming back. The same one. The one who gave us the Word of God, the one who died for our sins, the one who was bodily resurrected, the God of heaven, the creator of the universe, this same Jesus coming back. Amen. You better be prepared for him when he comes. Amen. This same Jesus does not change because he's God Almighty. He said in Malachi, I change not. That's what he said. God doesn't change. Now, you and I change. And here's a sermon this morning. Which way are you changing? Which way are you changing? Are you changing towards God? Or are you changing away from God? See, there's two changes. You're either going further and further away from God, or you're changing, go closer and closer to God. It's, if you're in the middle, you're going further away from God. Because I would hope to God that you learn more about the Bible now than you did a year ago. Amen. I would hope to God you know more about the Bible than you did 5 years ago. I would hope to God you read more of the Bible now than you did a year or two ago. I would hope to God that you're witnessing more and getting people saved and handing out more tracts now than you did a year or two ago. What I'm saying is, You ought to be changing towards God and changing your life and changing your mind and changing your heart towards the things of God instead of changing away from God. Well, Pastor, you're too old-fashioned. You're too strict. You're too narrow-minded. Well, what does God say about that? You know, when we show up at judgment, you're going to find out all of us were far away from the standards that we ought to have been. All of us ought to have been a little bit more stricter. All of us ought to have been a little bit more old-fashioned. But people say, Pastor, times have changed. Oh, that's an interesting statement. God hasn't changed. The Word of God hasn't changed. So just because times have changed, and nations have changed, and people have changed, and churches have changed, and pastors have changed, gives you no right and no authority for you to change away from God. Because you're going to be held again, you're going to be held accountable to this same Jesus who's coming again. Which direction are you going? My Bible says in Job 17:12, they changed the night into day. You know, there was a time there was no electricity, no street lights at night. Everybody used to go home at nighttime 200 years ago. But now it's like daylight, you know. You're going to paint the town red now. You're going to go out all night. Well, that's what's happening. They're changing the night into day now. And you think it's a good thing. You ought to be home at nighttime. If you can, unless you're working somewhere, you ought to be home at night. With your wife, your kids, you ought to be home. My Bible says in Psalm 106, verse 20, they changed their glory into the similitude of an ox that eateth grass. In Proverbs 24:21, the Bible says, meddle not with them that are given to change. You know somebody that's always constantly changing away from God? God says, have no business with them. Don't meddle with them. Because they're going to influence you. Isaiah 24, the Bible says, the earth also defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. Jeremiah 2, verse 11, hath the nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. Jeremiah 2, 20, 36 says, why gaddest thou about so much to change thy way? Jeremiah 13, 23, can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil. You better teach your children from a young age to do right. You better force them to do right. Because you start them off in a bad habit, you're asking for bad news later on, man. Bad news. God said about his people in Ezekiel 5, 6, she hath changed my judgments into wickedness more than the nations, and my statutes more than the countries that are round about her. For they have refused my judgments and my statutes. They have not walked in them. I got news for you. Some of the Arab countries are more moral than America is. And they're watching Hollywood and the filth and the pornography that we're pouring out into the videos and the television screens and going overseas, and they're looking at America as a pagan heathen nation. And you're mad at Arab nations. I'm telling you, I'm not saying they're saved. I'm not saying they're right all the time. And I know how evil they are, but they're more moral in their familial situations than God's people are. In America, you know what you have? You have people swapping husbands and wives. You know what you have in America? You have people with bestiality. You know what you have in America? Pornography. You have homosexuality, the sodomites parading outside. You don't see that in Arab countries. And that's exactly what God said here in Ezekiel. She hath changed my judgments into wickedness, more than the nations and my statutes, more than the countries that are round about her. But you know what we want to do? We want to sing. Proud to be an American. I wonder how many abortions the Arab countries are doing every day. America's aborting almost 1 million babies a year. Somewhere between 800,000, 700,000 to 1 million babies a year. So, Pastor, we need all these illegal immigrants. No, not if you butcher. If you didn't butcher your children, you wouldn't need them. But we've changed the laws. We've changed our God. We've changed the book. We've changed churches. And, you know, that's why they say, don't preach on sin. Don't preach on judgment. Don't preach on hell. And you'll have thousands of people coming. That's what they say today. Get on television. You see these preachers with these big mega box auditoriums. Thousands of people. 5,000, 10,000. The coffers are overflowing. Because they've changed their God. Their love of money is the root of all evil, the Bible says. Have you changed away from God? Or are you changing towards God? Who's influencing you? Who's pressuring you to go which way? This same Jesus is coming back. The same Jesus. Not a different Jesus. Not a Jesus that you see hanging on a cross. He looks like a sodomite, like a fag with bent anything, long hair, and looks like a queer hanging there, so helpless. That's not the Jesus of the Bible, by the way. That's not the Jesus of the Bible. First of all, Jesus off the cross. He's not on the cross anymore. He's out of the tomb. He's in heaven, and he's coming back again as a lion of the tribe of Judah. Which direction are you changing to? You're going one direction. It's either away from God or towards God. In Daniel chapter number 3, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. You know what? These three boys changed the king's word instead of changing God's word. Today, we're so afraid of the world that we're changing God's word because we're afraid what the king is going to say in America or the king of New York State or the king of Troy, New York. We're so afraid of the government leaders, we're no longer afraid of God. So we're changing the word of God because, it's easier to understand and it's not as harsh sometimes and it's more modern. You know what? It's a lie out of hell, ladies and gentlemen. This same book gave us revivals. This same book brought revival after revival after revival in England, in Europe, and in American history. Amen. The NIV never brought one revival. The New American Standard Version never brought one revival. All these other perversions never brought one revival in the history of mankind in the last 100 years. But if we use this same book that our forefathers used, you'll see people's lives changed for the better. They'll stop cussing, swearing, cheating, gambling, getting drunk, taking drugs, cheating on their wives, cheating on their husbands, going out partying. You'll see them change for the better. But you know what we have in our society? We've discarded the word of God. And that's why our society is falling apart. Our society hates God. The princes, governors, captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. These three boys were willing to go into fire for God, and they wouldn't bow down to the rock and roll music that they were commanded to worship. Said, no, we'd rather burn to death. Hey, you know what?
This same Jesus was in the fire with them.
Amen.
This same Jesus went in the fire with them. Daniel, if you pray to another God outside what the king says, you're going to go into the lion's den, Daniel. You know what Daniel did? He opened up the windows.
Amen.
He let everybody see what he had always done. He got on his knees. He prayed toward Jerusalem to the God of heaven, Jehovah God. You know what they did? They put him in the lion's den. But you know what? This same Jesus was petting the lion's heads in the den there.
Amen.
We're so afraid of the government's word. We're so afraid of government people. We're so afraid of neighbors. And we're so afraid of people put pressure on us. How come we don't fear God anymore? This same Jesus is the one that saves your soul. This same Jesus is resurrected from the dead, the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. This same Jesus coming back. Are you ready to meet this same Jesus? He's not a fairy tale.
No.
He's not a story that you make up, a fable. This is the same Jesus Christ who died for our sins, ladies and gentlemen. He's coming back. If you disobey God, the Bible says in Daniel 4:16, let his heart be changed from man's and let a beast's heart be given unto him. So why are people acting like a bunch of animals today? Pastors are killing each other. They're even eating each other. When did you ever think 20, 30 years ago people start eating each other in America? When God saw that they changed away from God, God gave them a heart of a beast, an animal. Which way are you changing? Hosea 4:7 says, as they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore will I change their glory into shame. He said in Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed.
In Romans chapter number 1, he says, they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. So they're worshiping these animals. Look, I like animals. I've had dogs. I've had cats. I've had chickens. I've had goats. I've had all kinds of farm animals and calves. You now have had turkeys. I'm not against animals. But when you start worshiping an animal and you start worshiping a tree and hugging a tree, God will change your mind because you're so far away from God. And he'll curse you. They're worshiping their own bodies now. They're worshiping and just flaunting their bodies. They're worshiping themselves. You know what God does? He changed their minds, changed their hearts. And you know what? They're sealing their eternity in hell, ladies and gentlemen, if they don't get saved. Who changed the truth of God into a lie, Romans 1:25. And worshiped and served the creature more than the creator. Who is blessed forever, amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Biology 101, man, woman. But they're teaching you an anti-God, anti-Bible, socialistic perversion that it's okay for men to be with men and women to be with women. People would have laughed and mocked at that 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. But today we're teaching that to kindergartens in a government school. And your children and your grandchildren are learning that. Then you get mad at the preacher for preaching truth. That doesn't change. Then we get mad at the preacher for telling you that Jesus is coming back. It doesn't matter if the school's changed or not. Jesus hasn't changed. Doesn't matter. You say, oh, I go to a good, my kids are in a good school district. There is no such thing as a good school district in the entire United States of America. None. When you teach kids kindergarten, first, third, second, third grade about the sodomite lifestyle, there's nothing good about a school district. But we've changed away from God. Which way are you changing? Towards God or away from God? You're going to stand before God one day, and you're going to give an account of this book that doesn't change before God that doesn't change. Thank God that lady had compassion on my soul. When I was going away from God, didn't even know it. I was going to church, lighting my candles, doing what my priest told me to do, but I was going away from God until someone showed me what the Word of God said. And I changed my eternal destiny. Amen. I changed my eternal destination from hell to heaven. And I changed my God from myself to Jesus Christ. Amen. And I asked Jesus Christ for mercy to save my soul from hell. The greatest thing I ever did in my life was asking Jesus Christ for salvation. Have you been saved? Are you on your way to hell? Why don't you change your direction and go the right direction, go to heaven this morning? Huh? Are you on the fence which way you ought to go? Pastor, they got a lot of more people over there. They got bigger crowds, you know. They don't use the King James Bible. They got rock and roll, rockabilly music, you know, where everybody can go to the temple, tempo, you know, and they can move like they're on a dance floor, and they got the lights pumping in, you know, the disco lights going in, and it's everything is so dark, Pastor. And man, there's so many people, they get in the spirit, Pastor. It's not the same Jesus that the Bible talks about. It's a different Jesus. It's a different God. It's a different book, and it's not Christianity. It's not Bible Christianity. Which way are you changing? Toward God or away from God? I don't care who follows me. I'm not changing away from God. I don't care how low the crowds get. I'm not changing away from God. I don't care if people get upset. I'm not changing away from God. I want to get closer and closer and closer to God. We all sin. We all make mistakes. But I'd rather make mistakes getting closer to God than thinking I'm okay getting further and further away from God, because I am going to meet this same Jesus. You see, the Bible says we shall be changed in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The Bible says in Job 14:14, all the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. In 2 Corinthians 3, verse number 18, we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. You know, the Roloff girls used to sing a song, from glory to glory, he's changing me. You can look that up, search it. It's a good song, great song. From glory to glory, he's changing me. We ought to be changing toward God. When you're changing away from God, you have a problem with this same Jesus who doesn't change. I'd rather have fellowship with God who loves me and died on the cross to save my soul from hell. Because one day, as Philippians 3:21 says, who shall change our vile body. He's going to change it. Which way are you changing? This same Jesus. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Let's all stand and pray, shall we? Dear God, I want to thank you, dear God, that you do not change, or else we would be consumed. I want to thank you, dear God, that although we deserve hell for all eternity to pay for our sins, that your mercy does not change. You're not like man that changes their mind with the winds of philosophy changing and the winds of fads changing, the winds of religious doctrines changing. Thank you, dear God, for not changing, because our salvation is secure in a God who does not change. I want to thank you for a book that does not change. I want to thank you, Lord, for salvation that does not change. Dear God, help us not to change away from thee, but to change towards thee, to be more like thee, to read more Bible than we did a month or two ago, to pray longer than we did 12 months ago, to be more concerned about souls now than we were 1 or 2 years ago, to lead more people to thee than we did 5 or 10 years ago. Dear God, help us to change towards thee, to be more like thee. Thank you for being this same Jesus. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.